Hallelujah. His name is so powerful. His name is so powerful. And God, this weekend, that power that He is, He wants to infuse that in you. In you. So tonight, tonight, let me just share with you quickly a little bit about our year, my year and Walker's year. I was thinking about this. Thank you, guys. I was thinking about this earlier today. And this has been a very different year for us, a very interesting year for us. We've traveled more back and forth to the U.S. than we ever have before. Part of it being some celebrations. I graduated, Tim graduated, and that was a lot of fun. But then there's been a few trips that have been because of family challenges. And there's some more trips to come with that. And so with those hardships, as you all know, there's stuff that goes on inside of us that we've got to contend with. And just like you, we've also been navigating through some deep waters and some new territories and places of discomfort and, like I said, some challenges. I also know this past year and even part of last year, I literally was averaging 4 nights an hour of sleep doing my master's. And it was all I could do to get that done and church done and Rhema done and still talk to my kids on the phone and just keep up with life. Another thing that happened with me in the last year is menopause jumped in. And I had to keep reminding, yeah, thank you. For those who get it, right? And I had to keep reminding myself, I'm not 30 anymore. I can't do what I used to. And so young people, enjoy it while you can, right? God bless you. But throughout all this, what I kept noticing all around me was that so many other people were facing all these different challenging things and their own battles. And I actually got a great concern inside. I think even probably 6 months ago, I even got Walker and I said, Walker, something's going on and I don't like it. And the message I'm doing tomorrow night was actually the first one. This one came later. And what hit me was that people, you know, God's helping us through things. But many times in your challenges, you're rebuking them and fighting against them and running away from them. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? And then in April, I started a personal study on the life of Paul, which was really fun. And his testimony is basically misguided zeal, which was then transformed into an eternal purpose. And Paul had so many challenges. And as I was going through that study, this all crept up again about what was going on with a lot of you. And so I want to look at a verse before we really get to the message. I want to look at a verse and let you hear about Paul a little bit from 2 Corinthians 11:23-28. They'll put it up there just now. And then I'll get to what we're going to be talking about. He said, I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Now, I start reading this and I think, I don't have any troubles at all, right? 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked long and hard, enduring many sleepless nights. That one I can relate to. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. And I can change that to for all the people in the church. Okay? And so what God put on my heart to share with you is overcoming the storms of life. Overcoming the storms of life. Jesus let his disciples know in John 16:33, he said, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, He says, take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus let us know this. Jesus let us know that we were going to be having trials in our life so that we could be ready for them. I think so often trials come and we're like, wait, where'd that come from? But he's letting us know they will be here. And just because you said yes to Jesus doesn't stop life from happening. Amen? So what we're going to do tonight is go through Paul's storm from Acts 27 in the Bible. And in Acts 27:1, Luke was writing this, and he said, when the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul was on this boat as a prisoner, okay? And so Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. Going to verse 9, we had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than he did to Paul. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster caught the ship and blew it out to sea. Acts 27:15. The ship was caught by the storm. Everybody say that. Caught by the storm. Because that's a key for this message tonight. Caught by the storm. And could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and we were driven along. How many of you have ever felt like that? Where you were caught up by something that felt more powerful than you and you felt helpless and you couldn't do anything about it. You felt stuck. Caught, overwhelmed, pushed around. It's easy to believe the goal of life is to escape unhurt. It's easy to believe that, all right? But it's not reality. It's not reality. We do have failure and we have pain and we have wreckage. And so many Christians believe that the goal of a spiritual life is just to glide through life with no troubles at all. You're fooling yourself. The Bible says it will happen. So get that off of your radar. No more thinking, yep, I said yes to Jesus, everything's fine now. Well, it's fine with him, but you still live in this world, this broken world. So just by living life in this beautiful broken earth that we live in, despite your efforts to avoid pain, things will fall apart at some point. Is there anyone in this room who can unequivocally say that you have had zero troubles in this life? Because if you have, I want to meet you. All right, you're all honest people. I like that. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. God's good. So again, remember, here on this earth, we will have many trials and sorrows. We all get caught in storms. You might have a marriage storm. You might have had or have a parenting storm. Any parents in here ever go round and round with your kids? Rhonda and I were talking on the way in about some of those storms. A financial storm, a health storm. We all have storms of some sort. And I've had many storms in my life as well. And they feel terrible. I was thinking about this back in 2008. It was approximately our fourth year here. Walker and I were facing a financial storm with school fees. With school fees. And Walker and I are both extremely firm believers in giving our children the very, very best education we can give them. We were both brought up in different public schools back in the States, but we believe that giving education is just so vital to their growth and to their development. It's powerful. Education is powerful. And if you're wondering what to do with your money, put it into education for your children. Education combats poverty. Education fosters decision-making skills and critical thinking. It contributes to interpersonal skills. It builds character. It changes the future. It puts you on a completely different radar. But in 2008, we had to make our deposit for 2009, and we didn't know where the money was coming from. We didn't know where it was coming from. We had fallen short. And I quickly did what I too often do, and I got into the natural, and I remembered back over the last 4 years how many different jobs, and I'm being serious about this, how many different jobs people had come to me to poach me from your nation. Zambians came to me. Would you come work for us? Would you come do this? Would you come? Now, I'm working full-time here, not getting paid a cent at the time, all right? But I was tempted because my kids were going to stay in their great school. My kids were going to stay there. Now, I'm not talking about faith tonight, so I'm not going to tell you how everything worked out. But hallelujah! Yeah. School fees came in. My kids stayed in school. And Monica, I just saw you. Where are you? One of their teachers right there. And I need you to meet Rhonda sometime tonight, okay? I was telling you about her. Monica Carriles from Mexico. Wonderful teacher. Thank you. Another storm that I've been in. Many of you, probably everyone in this room, you've got relationships, you've got friends. And there's this wonderful, wonderful lady. And for over 20 years, wonderful friends. She and I were tight. And even here in Zambia, lots of phone calls because we need relationship in our life. It's what sustains us. And we started having some tension a few years ago. And again, we're talking deep God friend. And I had to make a choice between standing up for righteousness and principles that are deeply embedded in my heart. I had to make a choice between that and carrying on with my relationship with my dear, dear friend. And on one hand, that's hard, but on another hand for me, it's a no-brainer because God will always prevail. That was a short-lived storm for me, I must say that. But I didn't know if the relationship was going to make it or not. I actually still don't know if it's completely finalized yet. I'll be honest about that too. But greater than anything else, I have a deep belief that I am willing to make enemies for the stance of righteousness with God. And if that relationship becomes an enemy, it's okay with me. And let's just say this too. There are broken relationships that I have today, and I'm even talked about today, and I just don't care because I know the convictions in my heart of putting him first. So we're not going to let that stand in the way. I've had storms in my marriage. Yes, Pastor Walker and I have had storms. And I've got a wonderful friend back here who has helped me weather through some of those storms. We are both, for those of you who know us, both of us are extremely opinionated. Extremely. And we hold our opinions quite deeply. And there have been times in our marriage, many times, I would say every day of the week, where we don't see eye to eye on something. And just so you know, we don't have the type of relationship where I say, well, he's the man, I guess. That's No. We don't do that. Not just me, but he doesn't either. He doesn't do it either. Because here's the thing. As opinionated as we are, both of us are not about the win. We're about what God wants. We're about what God wants. And we will both, in our little tiff that we might be having, I'm not trying to beat him and he's not trying to beat me and be the winner. But we're going to get on our face before God and say, God, we both want what you want. Help us get through this so we can get to the other side and make sure that we're going to be okay too. Okay? So I understand storms. I was purposely this morning when I was preparing and was praying, I actually stopped for a minute and I just counted just right now this morning I was like, one, yeah, right now I'm in 7 different storms. Right now I'm in 7. And you know what? I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. I was just telling some of these ladies here, last year at this time, I was a wreck. Now, part of it had to do with the lack of sleep and crazy stuff going on. But I'm like, man, this year, it's going to be awesome. Haley's doing good. Haley's doing good. And Haley's learned how to get through a lot of these storms. Not perfected it yet, but come a long way. And in real life, here's another thing with me. In real life, when I get on a real boat, I get sick in the waves of the storm. Just the being out there. Walker and I were dating. We weren't even married yet. And he took me out on this deep sea fishing boat. His mom was there, and I think his brother was there. And we weren't, I don't know, we weren't 400 meters out, and I was already vomiting over the side. Okay? So those of you who face seasickness, that type of stuff, yeah, there's a manifestation. There's nauseousness that happens, and the vomiting happened, and I ended up curling up down. I got under the underside of the boat, and I just curled up, and eventually I fell asleep. Okay, that's how real storms are. On the inside, you're in knots, right? And you get headaches, and you don't sleep at night, and it's not a nice place to be. It's not a nice place to be. And I personally, I don't like tension. It's why I just get it out there. Walker said a few weeks ago in a sermon, he talked about especially wives who just, you just stop talking to your husband because you're mad. See me, I can't not do that. I can't. I just have to get it out because I don't like the tension. Same thing with our staff. I just got to, right? I get it out. We're just going to be done with it. Let's just get it on out there. All right? So even in that storm, what you got to learn from this is you got to stay in it. You can't run away. You can't shut your mouth. You got to deal with it. You got to walk through it. But when we're in a storm, there are two reactions that are very typical and very problematic that we do. And the first one, we're going to go back to Acts again and look at Acts 27, verses 14 to 20. And the first reaction that we often have is the loss of hope. So we're in this storm, we're in this situation, and we encounter a loss of hope. But they were no sooner out to sea than a gale-force wind, the infamous nor'easter, struck. They lost all control of the ship. It was a cork in the storm. And we came under the lee of the small island named Clauda and managed to get a lifeboat ready and reef the sails. But rocky shoals prevented us from getting close. We only managed to avoid them by throwing out drift anchors. The next day, out on the high seas again and badly damaged now by the storm, we dumped the cargo overboard. The third day, the sailors lightened the ship further by throwing off all the tackle and provisions. It had been many days since we had either seen sun or stars. Wind and waves were battering us unmercifully, and we lost all hope of rescue. And you guys, losing hope means that you are convinced that life is not going to change. You come to the very end of yourself, and you believe it's not going to change, that life is going to be like this forever. Or I'm just going to go under. The storm is going to take me out. Verse 20 speaks of many days of darkness. And that darkness becomes the new normal of your life. Again, I don't know how many of you have gotten to that deep, deep, dark place. I think I shared this the first year here. I'm not sure if I did or not. But my first year living in Zambia, 16 months into living here, I had to fly myself back to America because I had gotten into such a dark place of depression. Because again, I was working 16-hour days at the church and just came to the end of myself. And thankfully, a wonderful friend of mine in the States, I was just talking to her on the phone, and she said, "Haley, you need help." And I was like, "Help for what?" She said, "You're about to crack." I was in a place of hopelessness. I was in bed, and this lady that lived with us at the time, every morning, I the only thing I could ever do was drink the cup of coffee she brought me. And I was doing that for weeks and then months, and eventually flew myself to America to get help. You guys, counseling is awesome. Okay? Don't think it's taboo or anything like that. Psychology is awesome. It helps you. It's wonderful. Somebody back there is happy. Yeah. Are you a psychologist or a counselor? No. Okay. Well, that's all right. The wind and waves were battering us unmercifully. It hurts. It hurts When you're in pain and now the waves are just coming, you feel like you're just getting punched, like you're a punching bag yourself. And another one comes and you're like, not another one. I can't take another thing. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The reality is so convincing that it darkens out the light of the future. And you can't even see forward. They had no belief that this was going to change. No belief that anything would be different. The demoralizing power of hopelessness paralyzes the soul. It paralyzes our soul. And hopeless hearts can't reach out in faith. I've had people in my office before. And again, I recognize that place of hopelessness. And they've been sitting in my office before at the end of themselves with hope. And the best thing that I can tell them, because like I just said, you can't even reach out in faith for anything. They need a person. They need a Jesus with skin on to be their hope for them for a season. That's what they need because they don't have it. For some of you, this is the belief that you have right now, the loss of hope. And maybe even some of you thought, fine, I'll at least try that stinking conference I keep hearing about. I guess I'm supposed to be there. I'm a woman and all, right? That place of hopelessness is a painful, painful place to be. The second reaction that is made in the midst of the storm, and I think this one's actually more dangerous, it is an incorrect assumption about God's love for you. An incorrect assumption about his love for you. There's a story in Mark about when Jesus got in a boat with his disciples. And Jesus' intention, he said this in the word, his intention and declaration was, let's go to the other side. So Jesus was in the boat with the disciples for what? To go to the other side. But in Mark 4, 37, 38, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and listen what they shouted. Now, what was the intention, you guys? To go to the other side. Here's what they shouted. Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Do you hear the motivation of their heart? They didn't believe that Jesus loved them. They didn't believe that Jesus was going to take them to the other side. They made a false link with the storm and what was in Jesus' heart towards them. They made incorrect assumptions about his heart. Their feelings were made on a false belief about Jesus. This is a wrong belief that everything, listen to this, because this is so common. I hear this almost every day. It's a wrong belief that everything that happens in my life is automatically the will of God. You guys, it's not. It's not. That statement that so many people make, God is in control. No, he's not. He's not. You made a wrong decision. Or somebody else did something towards you. But God doesn't do bad things, ever, ever. He loves us. We are to overcome temptation and bind the enemy and deal with our heart. There are many things we do with the help of God, many, many, many. But don't make him the automatic scapegoat for everything that comes your way that's not what you want. Don't blame it on God, in other words. Stop blaming God for the condition that you are in. And if you hold on to either one of these reactions, the reaction of losing hope or the reaction of blaming God, the storm, it's going to be a lot harder and a lot longer for you. So just a real quick tip, if you can get rid of those two things, your storm will be easier. You don't have to be lost at sea with hopelessness, nor accuse Jesus falsely. You can take biblical steps to get through that storm. And instead of praying the storm away, get Jesus in the boat with you and let him help see you through the storm. Amen? Amen. You know, all the different storms that I seem to go through, like all the time myself too, do you know I look back on them and I actually just thank God. I say, God, not only do I thank you for getting me through the storm, but thank you for what I learned in that storm. Thank you for who I've become by going through that storm. I tell you what, a great indicator of where you are in your life is how you react when there's a storm. It's a great indicator. So what I want to look at next is four storm survival strategies. So how are we going to get through these storms? So we're going to look at four storm survival strategies. And the first one, found in Acts 27:29, the first one is, you got to stay on the ship. Stay on the ship. That ship where I vomit. Yep. I got to stay on that ship. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed. They prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending that they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. So here are these men in the storm. They're pretending to let a lifeboat down, but actually, they're planning on getting in that lifeboat, cutting the ropes, and trying to find safety. That's what they're really doing. And if you're in the midst of a storm, please do not pretend like everything's okay when it's not okay. Don't act like it's okay. There's a storm a-brewing. You know it's a-brewing. And someone comes along and they say, how you doing, Sally? Oh, I'm just wonderful, praise Jesus. I'm just wonderful. Now, I'm not talking about losing your faith right now. You're standing on the Word of God and you're trusting Him. But when you've got a safe friend and someone that you believe loves you so much, you better open up your mouth and you better let them know what's going on with you. Open it up. Stop pretending. In 2010, when we were going through the crisis here at the church that I shared with you a couple years ago as well, I literally took my son to a hospital here. He had something wrong with his wrist. And the guy that was administrating the hospital, he was a man from Kenya, a precious man. And he came out. He happened to see me sitting out there. He came out. He was a member of this church. He says, he's never asked this before. We just had small talk before. He says, Pastor Haley, how's everything going at the church? And I thought, oh, dear Jesus, do I open my mouth right now? I did. I'm serious. I was like, and I don't know this man. And I literally felt the Spirit well up within me and said, you tell him and you tell him everything. And I was like, I don't know him that well. And I started sharing with him about, and I'm not going to get into that with you guys, but I just started sharing with him about everything that was going on around here, and immigration had me move, get out of the church and blah, 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 blah. And as I was sharing with him, he's just standing there and I could tell he's just waiting to respond. And I finished talking and he says, I can help you. He said, this has happened to me before. I'm not kidding. And because I didn't pretend that I was somewhere that I wasn't, he was the answer that I needed for my storm. Now, it took 2 years, still took 2 years, but it started with being honest with Peter. Okay. Verse 31, then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men will stay on the ship, you cannot be saved. Paul, these men have to stay on that ship or you're not going to be saved. Notice in verse 29, they're praying, oh God, send daylight. And by verse 31, they're trying to jump into a lifeboat. Paul has these words for them, and he tells them what God said. He said, you will survive the storm if you stay on the ship with me. Sometimes to stay on the ship, you got to get rid of your backup plan. Because here's the thing, it was your backup plan, not God's plan. So everything that you think, and yes, God's given you a brain, but did you consult Him so that what's in your brain came from Him and not from you? Sometimes to stay on the ship, you got to get rid of that backup plan. And it's hard to stay on the ship when you got one foot going off the boat and the other one in the boat, toggling back and forth, back and forth. In verse 32, they got rid of their backup plan and they cut the lifeboat They just cut it and it drifted away. So don't cheat how God wants to get you off the boat and out of the storm. Don't cheat it. Yes, it's painful. It's hard. You grow weary. Don't cheat it, or you're not going to make it. Sometimes during the storm, we want to go back to our old habits, our old ways, our old friends. No, cut that rope off. Been there, done that. Don't go back. Don't go back. It's comfortable, but it's the wrong place for you. Don't go back. Don't run away. Don't stop praying. Don't stop serving. Don't stop going to church. Do you know most people stop going to church when they get in trouble? Maybe your storms is that you had sex with a guy and now you're pregnant. Don't leave church. We're not against you. We still love you. Please. Be running to the church, not from it. Don't stop going to connection group. Stay on the ship. Stay on the ship. Sometimes we got to stay on the ship just to survive the storm. And sometimes it takes more faith to stay on the ship than to get off of the ship. Turn to a person next to you and say, stay on the ship.
Stay on the ship.
All right. Stay on the ship. Second storm survival strategy. The second one. You ready? Be still and chill. Be still and chill. Acts 27:33. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last, and now notice this, for the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense. In other words, he's saying for 14 days, you've been panicking, you've been stressed out, you've been worried, you haven't been sleeping. You've been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. In other words, you haven't taken care of yourself. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. Paul said, in the midst of the storm, too many of you are not taking care of yourself. You still got to do what your body needs. You still got to do what's necessary to have health in your life. That time I flew back to America, that I flew myself back there to go see a counselor, the guy looked at me and he said, Haley, he said, I had to share my story with him. And he said, man, you're a mess. And I said, yeah, I'm quite the mess. And he said, but here's one thing I don't understand. He said, you've still been eating healthy. He said, and you've told me, because I was running at that time a lot. I was running about five K for you guys. I was running about 5K a day and I was eating healthy. And he goes, how did you keep doing all that? And I said, because I knew I needed to. I knew that. I had enough from my studies background. I knew I had to do that. And he actually said to me, he said, Haley, if you would have stopped doing that, I don't even think you would have made it back here today. That's how far gone my body was. Not my body, but my soul. I should say it that way. The storm is confusing to you and you don't know where you are and you don't know what's happening, but you've got to take care of yourself. Worrying and stressing out won't do anything for us. Luke 12:25, Jesus said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? How many of you worry? Come on, let's be honest. Okay, what does the Bible say? Is it going to help us if we worry? Not at all. Not at all. My father, for my entire life, literally, even the last time I saw him, which I think was in June or something, my father, he has told me this from the time I could write. He says, Haley, if you're worrying in the middle of the night, have a piece of paper by your bed and just write it down and go back to sleep. And I've never heeded to what my father said ever until 3 nights ago. For real. I told you this, right? Until 3 nights ago. And since we'd come back from America, I still wasn't sleeping. And I thought, this is ridiculous. And it wasn't worry about stuff. It was just my brain going, really. And I did. I put that piece of paper by the bed and a pen. And do you know the last 3 nights I didn't wake up at all? Never used that piece of paper. Yep. When you find yourself caught in the storm, you've got to be still and chill. Acts 27:36, they were all encouraged and they ate some food themselves. So Paul told them, you got to take care of yourself. They ate some food. The third survival strategy, the third one is we need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. The storm is confusing to you. Your head gets messed up. Your heart gets messed up. But when you hear from God, you may also hear from God that you might be a Jonah. Y'all know that story about Jonah and the whale, right? You might be a Jonah and have brought the storm on yourself. You might just hear that. And if you've been blaming the devil, or you've been blaming your spouse, or you've been blaming God, or you've been blaming your leader at work, or whoever it is, when you get with God, why don't you find out why the storm really happened? Because if it is you, and just so y'all know, many of them are, not saying all, but if it is, you need to get that right with Christ. Okay? If you've got a financial crisis, and maybe a few months back, you, not God, but you decided to start a business, and so you started flying to China and Dubai and bringing stuff back, and you're going to become the saleswoman of the year, and you give everyone their clothes on credit, and no one pays you, and now you've got this big crisis, right? Did God tell you to be a businesswoman? Or did you just want some money? That's a storm you created. That's a mess that you're in. And you know what? He wants to help you out of it. He does. He really does. He still wants to help you out of it. But the first thing you got to do, I'm sorry, God. I'm so sorry. And some of you have done it 10 times over. And you put your family in jeopardy. And you had to sell your cars. Stop trying to be who you're not. Not everybody can do that kind of stuff. Or maybe, and I'm just on finances, whatever. Maybe your sister came groveling to you in early January and said, Sister, I know you've been saving up for a new car, but your niece and nephew aren't going to school unless you give me that money. And you give it to her, and she was irresponsible all year long. Did God tell you to give her that money? Or did you just want your sister to still like you? And now you're in financial crisis because you need that money now, maybe for your own children. Okay? So we've got to hear from God. We've got to know what's going on. Why is this storm happening? You need to hear what he's saying. Paul heard from God, and it changed everything. Acts 27:21. With our appetite for both food and life long gone, Paul took his place in our midst and said, friends, you really should have listened to me back in Crete. Do y'all ever say that to your spouse? Walker? We would have avoided all this trouble. Okay, so there is a truth in that, right? We need to be listening. But listen, if only we would ask God, if only we would listen and ask God before, there are many storms that can be avoided. Okay? So if you cause that storm, you need to own up and repent. Okay? Verse 22, but there's no need to dwell on that now. Okay? So we're not going to even, let's repent. Let's don't go back there now. All right? No need to dwell on that now. From now on, things are looking up. I can assure you that there will not be a single drowning among us. Although I can't say as much for the ship. The ship itself is doomed. Last night, God's angel stood at my side, an angel of this God I serve, saying to me, don't give up, Paul. You're going to stand before Caesar yet, and everyone sailing with you is also going to make it. So, dear friends, take heart. I believe God will do exactly what he told me, but we're going to shipwreck on some island or other. We must listen to God's voice and God's word more than the sounds of the storms, the cries of the doubters, and the sound of the boat breaking. And you guys, it's hard. I'm telling you, when you are in the middle of that storm and the waves are crashing and the lightning's rolling and the thunder's roaring, it's hard to hear from God. It's really hard. And then you've got people that you are talking to, you shouldn't be talking to because they don't even know God. You got to find yourself in a quiet place so you can hear from Him and be still your heart. You will hear from God what to do, and you'll also hear from God what not to do. But you've got to quiet yourself. You will hear from God about the hope of your future. And your response to God must be, God, while it's still going on, I won't give up. I won't give up, God. I'm going to stay on the ship. I hear the future. You've just told me. I'm not going to get ahead of you, God. That's another problem, guys. Don't get ahead of Him. It's His timing. Don't give up. Weather the storm. Your response must be faith. I believe God will do exactly what God said He'll do. I believe Him. He was clear, and I'm going to do what He said. The fourth survival strategy. The fourth one. And I think this one's a hard one for so many people as well. Acts 27. We must praise God in the storm. Must praise God. You want to praise God in the storm. After he said this, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God in front of them all. And he broke it and he began to eat. Before Paul gave the men food to eat, the Bible says that Paul took it and he thanked God. The storm is happening. The wind is blowing. The waves are crashing against the ship. And Paul is thanking God. He's probably on his knees in that boat, and there's probably water coming in, and he's on his knees, and he's got his hands uplifted to God. And he says, I praise you, Father, in this storm. I praise you, Father, in this storm. I know the water's coming in, but I praise you. I praise you. God hasn't changed, you guys. We're the ones that have changed. We're the ones that have the trouble going on. You got to be praising your Father. He's your only hope. He's the one that's going to get you out. When you're in the midst of the storm, you've got to keep saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Do you guys know that anybody can praise God when life is good? That's just so simple. It's harder when life is tough. Challenges are there. Storms are there. Let's get better at that one. Walker's, y'all that come to this church, you've heard he's had this throat issue for a few weeks now. And what you don't know is in the middle of the night, he gets up gagging. And I didn't tell you the truth. I did wake up once last night because he jumped out of bed. And he's literally running out of our bedroom like this. But no, this has been happening. But you know what he was doing as he's running? I'm healed. I'm healed. Praise you. I'm not lying. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. You know why? He knows how to praise God in the storm. He didn't stop and think, now what am I supposed to do right now? Okay? Like he can't breathe. And he's praising God. He's praising God. The real test of our faith is when we're in the midst of the storm and life is not going our way and things are rocky and things are shaky to be able to thank Him in that storm. Psalm 42:11 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? You guys been there before where your soul is downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Storms can disturb us. And on the inside is turmoil. And we're struggling emotionally. Fear. And he says in the middle of the storm, he says, put your hope in God. For I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Love that verse. Your soul can be downcast, yet I will praise Him. We need to put some more yet in our praise for God. Some more yet. My finances are falling apart, yet I will praise Him. My marriage is falling apart, yet I will praise Him. praise him. My finances are falling apart. I will praise him. My children are going crazy right now. Yet I will praise him. I just found out my daughter's pregnant. She's not married yet. Yet I will praise him. Yet I will praise him. You get a bad doctor's report? Hallelujah, Father, I praise you. This is not from you, Father. I'm not going to be keeping this sickness that's in me. I praise you, Father. Sometimes you got to praise through till you get a breakthrough. Your boat is rocking. The wind is blowing. Lightning's flashing. Thunder's roaring. Yet, I will praise him. I will praise him. Let me encourage you, don't you dare let the storm steal your praise. Don't let the storm steal your praise. Turn to your neighbor right now. This is just funny. Just say this to your neighbor. Say, I don't really need this message tonight, but you do. All right. Okay, just real quick, some of you may have seen this, some of you may not, but all of you got a Living Free bag. In the outside pocket, there's just this funny little thing in there. Just pull that out and just hold on to it. It's on the outside pocket. We're not done yet. We're still talking about praising God. Amen? Okay. We are going to praise him. There is hope for you. Let's go to Acts 27:41. And this is where it gets a little bit scary. It says, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and did not move. And the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The ship struck a sandbar, and the Bible says that the ship began to break into pieces. The ship that you're supposed to stay on is breaking into pieces. Can you imagine being on this ship, thanking God and worshiping, and all of a sudden the ship is breaking into pieces? Your finances are falling apart, breaking into pieces. Your marriage is falling apart, breaking into pieces. Your job that you've had for so many years, things aren't going the way they used to, breaking into pieces. Whatever storm you're in, breaking into pieces. Emotions falling apart. You feel like you're losing your mind. Mentally, you're breaking into pieces. And what do you do when you look up? And you've been staying on this boat, and you've been praising God, you've been doing everything that you know what you're supposed to do, but all you've got left are broken pieces. What do you do when you look at a ship and you set sail in life? You set sail in college. You set sail at school. You set sail with your family. You set sail with your kids. And you look back at all you've done for the last 30 or 40 years of your life. And literally everything in your life is falling into pieces. Broken. All you ladies here tonight, I want you to listen to this. Just listen to this statement right here. God can still take you to your destination on broken pieces. He can still get you there on broken pieces. He's able. He's more than enough. All you need is a tiny little piece. You can make it on broken pieces. The scripture says in 27:43, the centurion ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest were to get there on planks or other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone could reach the land safely. So how many of you know that it's not a good thing when you're on a ship and a storm comes? How many of you know that's not good, right? Well, how about this? You're on a ship and a storm comes and the ship starts breaking into pieces. That's even worse, right? Well, let me tell you what's even worse. You're on a ship. A storm comes. The ship is breaking into pieces. And you don't even know how to swim. You don't know how. God can still get you to your destination on broken pieces. The Bible says those that could swim to shore. And the rest of you, God's going to still get you there on broken pieces. You just got to grab a hold of a piece. You got to grab a hold of a piece. Far too often when we're in a storm, we are so busy looking back at what we lost. But God, I used to have this. And God, I used to have that. And I don't get to have that anymore. And we're so busy looking back and not trusting Him about what's forward that we just stop. And we get stuck. And we don't trust Him anymore. You lose sight of what's still left. And again, if all that's left is a broken piece, grab it. Grab hold of it. Get your eyes off of what was. And look ahead at what's going to be. Grab a hold. Grab a hold. Grab a hold. Some of you might say, but Pastor, all I've got is a little bit of hope. Then grab hold of the hope. Well, all I've got is a little piece of joy, just a tiny little sliver of joy when this one friend comes around. Then grab a hold of that joy. Well, there's this much of my marriage left. Then grab a hold of that little bitty piece that's left. God's going to get you there on broken pieces. You just got to grab a piece. You just got to grab a piece.